Look, what's the problem? There's nothing here to harm us. It's empty, for fuck's sake.
He threw his arms wide, as if to demonstrate. For a second, she almost expected some eldritch terror to rise up behind him, like out of some barely remembered horror movie in her previous life. But he just stood there, framed against the shell of an old skyscraper, surrounded by silence.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Let's get going. Time is of the essence, after all, and I'm just, I don't know, just a little freaked out by the silence. Not used to it, I guess.
She picked up the gurney once more and followed the old man. Michaela murmured to her as they followed Bones.
Mildred, I'm getting worried about him.
Mildred looked over her shoulder.
Nah, he's okay. Just a cranky old man.
I'm not talking about Bones. It's JB. He's gone real quiet. Haven't you noticed?
To her sudden surprise, Mildred realized that she had been so preoccupied with the silence around her that she hadn't noticed that John was very quiet himself. She cast a glance over her shoulder. The armorer was lying still and silent on the stretcher, his lips parted as he breathed easily, a waxy sheen on his skin. There was nothing she could do out here, though. No point in stopping. They could only carry on and hope for the best.
Hey, I recognize this. Yeah, I've been through this. We're nearly there, Mildred.
Mildred felt a sigh of relief well up within her. They had passed through the ruined center of the old city and were leaving the majority of old towers and skyscrapers behind them. They were now entering a neighborhood of blown and burned out old concrete low levels, like the ones they had previously seen. Incongruously, in the middle of it all was an old burger joint, the Golden Arch still miraculously standing, though the metal was twisted and the yellow plastic scorched and melted from yellow to sienna to black in places. It stood at an almost jaunty angle, as though beckoning them.
Yeah, I know that thing. We're nearly there.
Ahead of them, Bones turned and grinned, throwing out his left arm to indicate a series of concrete three-story buildings to Mildred's right.
Told you, didn't I? Got you here, and pretty damn triple fast at that. The hospitals are over there.
What happened next seemed to take place in slow motion. As Mildred watched in sheer astonishment, a dark shape circled silently in the sky, moving from their rear until it was behind Bones, and moving in and down toward him. It was huge, with a wingspan of at least 20 feet, and a squat, pot-bellied body, and enormous, beady eyes that seemed to bore into them from a distance. It was covered with fur, the wings made of a membranous, leathery substance rather than skin and feathers. It looked like a giant, mutated bat. But even as Mildred tried to snap herself out of her stunned surprise to take action, frantic questions were spinning through her head. Where did it come from? Why was it out during daylight? Why had no one told her about this creature? How the hell many more were there? Before she had a chance to shake out of her shock, the creature swooped toward Bones' outstretched arm, which still pointed limply, left hanging in his shock at seeing the creature circle him. He began to turn. The giant bat swooped down on him, the outstretched wings slicing through the air. The claws underneath the squat body came down and took the old man's left arm and both feet. The claws dug into his flesh, tearing through the flimsy material of his jacket and suit. He stood firm, trying to pull against the flying monster, but all he did was give it better purchase. His arm rotated in the shoulder socket, the joint wrenched free. Mildred could hear Michaela turn away with fear and disgust as the giant bat pulled the old man's arm free from his body. The bat flew upward with the arm securely in its claws, a trail of blood raining to the ground. Bones stood stock still in shock. The shoulder spouted blood in rhythmic gouts, shooting out several feet onto the roadway around him. After what seemed an impossible time, he crumpled to the ground, dead before he collapsed into the crimson pool underneath him. Mildred pulled the checkmate ZKR and whirled, taking a bead on the creature as it flapped away. Already it had covered some distance, and she refrained from wasting ammo. Chances were that its hide was so thick that it would need bigger ordnance than the 551 at this range to make an impression. Besides which, there was something else that caught her eye as she followed the creature's line of flight. Michaela was looking in frozen shock at the corpse of Bones.
Michaela, for God's sake, get it together! Two things. One, we need to get cover. Two, I need information from you, girl, in that order.
Sorry.
Michaela shook her head and picked up her end of the gurney. Mildred rapidly holstered the ZKR and grabbed her end, directing them toward the cover of one of the nearby lower-level concrete buildings. It was an office front with the windows and doors blown out on the ground, although remnants of glass remained in some on the second and third stories. Mildred heaved a sigh of relief as they gained the shelter of the building. The doors and windows were too small for what she had seen outside to get near them. What made her decide not to fire and to get to cover wasn't the giant bat flying away with Bones' arm still dangling beneath its belly. It was the sight that greeted her at the bat's destination. Around the top of one of the ruined skyscrapers were several more of the creatures, perhaps 7 or 8, circling rapidly, obviously agitated by what had happened below. When they were inside, Mildred led Michaela to the second story so that they could get the best possible view of their new enemy. The rear of the building faced the skyscraper that seemed to act as the creature's nesting area. Mildred helped the girl lay the gurney down in the far corner of the room, as far away as possible from any potential danger, then led her to the window. They could see the creatures circling the ruined skyscraper, their orbit growing larger. One broke away and swooped down over the building, making them both duck and cover.
Damn it, girl! What the hell are they? And why didn't anyone mention they'd be around?
I don't know.
Michaela couldn't tear her eyes away from the glassless window and the sight of the giant bats circling the area of the building.
What do you mean you don't know?
Michaela didn't answer. Her eyes were riveted to the outside, and she couldn't do anything but gaze helplessly at the danger beyond.
Girl, I really need you to snap out of this, and now!
She grabbed the healer by the shoulders and turned her so that she was facing her.
Snap out of it!
Mildred backhanded the girl across the face and knocked her to the floor with the force of the blow. Michaela picked herself up, blinking. She wiped at the corner of her mouth with the back of her hand, looking wonderingly at the smear of blood where Mildred's blow had split her lip. She looked at Mildred and then began to cry. Mildred stepped across and held the young woman.
It's okay, honey, it's okay. I shouldn't have hit you quite that hard, but I had to do something. I'm gonna need you to be really on the ball if we're gonna get out of this in one piece.
She stepped back a little, holding the young woman at arm's length. Michaela looked directly into Mildred's eyes. She made a feeble attempt at a grin.
Sorry, I really lost it there. It's just that I've never seen anything like that before.
Now that's one of the questions I need answered. Never?
I didn't know there were creatures like that in the city. I don't think anyone does.
She shivered as she thought of Bones, the expert on the old ruins, and what had happened.
I guess that means you never come out here by night. The thing I can't figure out is why the hell they've been disturbed during daylight hours.
Michaela looked at her with incomprehension, so Mildred filled in the blanks.
Bats, even muties like those, though Lord knows they're usually a whole lot smaller, a strictly nocturnal. So something must have really rattled their cage to get them out here when it's still sunup.
Maybe it's us.
What do you mean?
We've come through the middle of the old city. For as long as I can remember, anyone who's come out of Pleasantville, whether they're supposed to or not, has avoided the center. Not because of those, but because it's not really safe with all the old buildings falling to shit all the time. Bones brought us through the middle, taking a real risk. Guess he did take in how important it was to move quickly after all.
I guess he did.
This knowledge made Mildred wish that she could have been quicker, sharper, somehow done something to prevent the old man's horrific demise.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
Graphic Audio is a movie in your mind. But Graphic Audio is playing in folks' minds all over North America. Right now, people like you are experiencing the power of Graphic Audio. For them, it's a totally new way to see an audiobook. Here's what they're saying. This was posted by Rayboy.
Man, is this one sweet. It's almost like having Jurassic Park in your head.
And here's something from Cerberus Man.
The Tigers of Heaven was very exciting. It was almost like listening to a movie. I'll be buying the other Outlander series.
This is an email we got from Mark.
The sex scenes, they're depicted pretty effectively.
And here's an email from Chris Rutledge.
I have been a big fan of the Deathlands series for many years. I was delighted to find a multi-person cast and sound effects in the books. You do great work. Keep it up.
Got a comment you'd like to make about Graphic Audio? Got suggestions? Criticisms? Give us a call at 1-800-670-5220 or email us at support@cuttingaudio.com. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the container of this graphic audio book. We'd like to hear from you, wherever you are. Due to intense violence and sexual situations, graphic audio is rated for mature audiences.